call is now being recorded.
Hi, this is Jed Cody here, and I am interviewing Larry, a local entrepreneur to the area of Western North Carolina. How are you doing today, Larry?
Very good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. So I was going to ask you a few quick questions about being self-employed. The first one is, how did you start your self-employed career?
Well, it really was probably kind of unusual. I think it was, but maybe it wasn't. I was working in a marketing department of a large company. I had started a golf league there, and my golf partner came to me one day, and he came and brought a putter that his father had invented into the marketing department and showed it to all of us who were playing in the golf league. And, around us stood all these senior marketing people, and everybody was looking. I'd say, well, that looks cool and all that. But one thing he said stuck in my mind. He said that his dad got a mechanical patent on this putter. I kind of thought about mechanical. How could that be? I mean, he got a design patent also, but mechanical, that sounds like, you know, for machines and types of things. And I looked it up, and sure enough, it was an unusual thing that he got. It was for perfect energy transmission from club head to ball, no matter where the ball hits on the club face. Now that's a common thing to the widened sweet spot on a golf club, but back then it wasn't. We were one of the first, if not the first, to introduce that. Because what I did is I went and talked to his dad and learned about all this. He turned out to be a very brilliant man. He was a mechanical engineer on the atomic bomb project back in World War II, and had a big business supplying Detroit. So the guy was really overly qualified and brilliant, and created this putter. I said, you created the perfect putter. You know, I would like to market this. And meanwhile, he was just making them for friends, you know, 10 here, 20 here, and so forth, and giving them away. And I said, hey, I think I could sell these. And my hardest thing was getting him to want to go into manufacturing of this putter for me to sell him. I finally got him to make about 100 of them, and I sold them really quick. I did it by direct mail. I sold to sales managers because I knew that they played a lot of golf. And I came back to him and said, hey, let's make another 100. And then the big moment came. I got an order for 5,000 putters from Australia. And this back then was, you know, probably well over a $100,000 order, which, it was, you know, today that's probably 10 times that. It was a very, very, very big order. So I went back to the gentleman and said, hey, look here, we go now. We've got something here. I've proven on a small scale. Now I can prove it to you on a bigger scale. And the guy looked at me. We shook hands, never signed a contract. We shook hands, and he said, okay, let's go. He set up a little factory, rented separate space, set up a factory to make these perfect putters, and I continued with marketing efforts. Then just before I was to receive delivery of the 5,000 putters, I got a call from Australia, and, well, the company had gone out of business. They didn't want the order anymore. So, you know, this was a big turning point in my life, and this is how I really got started in the business, because I decided, after learning how to drink martinis and deal with the situation, I decided that while I could walk away from this situation because the fella and I just had a handshake, I was going to try to sell these 5,000 butters. And I said, I'm not going to try to sell 5,000. I'm going to design a marketing program where it's a test. And if this should work, we'll be able to roll out and sell another 100,000 putters. Okay, we're going to test markets with it. And it was tough. I had no money. I got a credit from a printer who I worked with for a long time and really appreciated. I borrowed every cent I could on my house. I somehow got the test into the mail. It was a direct mail test, and bang, it worked. I mean, it was bigger than all I could hope for. We sold those 5,000 putters real fast. Turned around, I wound up buying the manufacturing operation from the fellow and expanding the product line into woods and irons, and with the same expanded sweet spot concept. I, in fact, got my own patent on it for woods. But, to answer your question, the way I got in business, the best thing that happened to me was losing a $100,000 order way back when, which might be almost $1 million order today, and deciding not to turn my back and run away from it when it was very easy to do it.
Wow, that's incredible. How long have you been an entrepreneur?
Well, this was the mid '70s that this took place. We had the best selling putter in America for the last 5 years of the '70s. And today you'll see many pros on the tour using putters with the same concept. While things are patentable, there's things called patent approvements, and others can move in and take advantage of your success.
Yeah, wow. Very, very, wow, that's cool. So, what are some of the challenges that you have faced in, like, new business startups?
Well, I think I've learned a lot about myself over the years, and that what I like to do is the new business startup. I like taking something from zero to 70 miles per hour as fast as I can. But then at that point, there comes a point where it's not my expertise to take a company to the next level. I have, and I have found that the best way to do that is by hiring people that can do the job better than I can. The management aspects and the financial aspects. I think many times an entrepreneur is a creative person and wants to get something going, and that's the talent. People have specialized talents. I don't have them all. I definitely don't, and I've been happy to work with real good people in the past who have taken over where I needed them to.
What advice could you offer someone who was going out on their own to start their own business?
What would I say to them? Advise them? Or?
Yeah, what advice would you give to someone who was going out on their own to start their own business?
Well, I've started other businesses, and since the perfect putter thing, I think you have to say that you want to develop a product or a service that helps people. To say, oh, I'm going to go in money or go in business for just money to clean up, that's not the right attitude. I think you have to look at this and say, hey, I could do something nobody else has done, and I can help people, help society, help the world, help a target group in some way with this product or service. And that takes a commitment. It takes a commitment of in early years of not trying to become a gazillionaire overnight, reinvesting and building your business, building your marketing and your client base. being good to them, not being penny ante. And that I mean, if something goes wrong, you don't worry about $15 mistake with a customer. It's better to say, well, this is the age of bailouts. We'll just swallow that one and stay friends, okay? And here, I'll send you something free. Just give and make customers really, really like you.
Yeah, wow. So when you've had people work for you, what have you found works best when motivating or rewarding the people that were working for you?
What's best to motivate them?
What ways did you find best to motivate and to reward employees when you had them?
Well, you know, I think empowering them is probably the best way. Giving them money is a very important way, bonuses and so forth, and it raises. Giving money really works in getting people to continue to like you and to do work. But I think aside from that, empowering them, giving them the ability to make decisions on key issues and supporting them in those decisions, not being a dictator. I found that, you know, that very important.
Yeah, interesting. So this is a question for your opinion. How important do you feel formal education is for the success of the new business venture?
Oh, gee, probably zero.
Okay.
I look back at what I learned in college and, you know, I can't remember what I learned in college. I think maybe the experience of formal education in college, of working with people, interacting with people, you know, that experience in the environment and dealing with successes and failures of relationships, I think maybe all of that is what it's really all about, a formal education. Unless you're going to be like a doctor, where you need to know specific scientific facts and all that. But for the type of businesses I've been in, zero.
Okay. And then our final question of the interview is there anything that you'd like to share from your personal and or professional experience with anyone who may be listening to this interview?
Well, I think I've already said it, that to go into business for the right reasons, and I can't emphasize that enough. I did start other companies, and I would go into an industry, and I would notice that other companies are charging outrageous prices. They're gouging customers. I'd look at it and say, oh, well, what if a company came in and charged fair pricing and gave great service and so forth? And I did that with a book business and selling to schools, and it just took off like gangbusters, because we were the honest kids on the block, and I think that's the way to be.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah, that's great advice. Well, Larry, I really appreciate you taking the time to do an interview with me.
Well, it's always good talking to you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Great.